Good morning.
Matt said, I'm Dwight Thomas. I'm with Alwick, West Broad Street Church of Christ. My topic this morning is Christ in the Old Testament. In this, they want me to discuss the times that Jesus Christ, as an angel, in some physical appearance, had that occurrence in the Old Testament. And as Tony said, as he finished up, there are those that believe that Christ appeared many, many times in the Old Testament, beginning with the Garden of Eden and right on up. There are others who feel that Christ did, in fact, make an appearance in the Old Testament, but not as often. There's a third group that feels like Christ made an appearance, but not very often. So you have three real primary groups that hold varying opinions on the appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. I read one article that stated any time that the term the angel of the Lord occurred with an appearance, physical appearance, then it was Christ. And if it said an angel, then it was referring to an ordinary angel, if there's such a thing as an ordinary angel. I would very much like to one day be an ordinary or even subordinary angel, just as long as I'm make the angel category. So I'm looking forward to this lesson. I read one article, and he was asked the question, answering the question, did Jesus or Christ make an appearance in the Old Testament? And he said, well, it was just a bunch of Christian gobbledygook, like all the other rest of the Bible. And I never really understood what gobbledygook meant until I read his article. So it cleared that up in my mind, and he truly approached it with a range of gobbledygook. But because there is such a wide range of opinion, it's very important that each one of us study, make our own opinion, to see if we're going to be one of the ones that thinks there's many, many occurrences, if there are not so many, or if there are just a few. And each one of us have to make that own determination for ourselves. And since we're going to be looking at the Old Testament, the logical place starts in the New Testament. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2, verses 17 through 18. And this passage sets the groundwork, so to speak, concerning the worship of angels. Colossians 2, chapter 17 through 18 says, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Now here we can see that in this passage that we're not to worship angels. So in your study and making your determination, if you see a passage of Scripture where an angel is accepting an individual to worship, then you can assume, and rightly so I believe, that it is Christ, Jesus, or Christ in physical form in that particular passage. Let's look at one more. It's in Revelation chapter 22, verses 6 through 9. And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angels, which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the saying of this book, worship God. So again, it's made very clear that we're not to worship angels. We're the angel told John that he was his fellow servant. He was the fellow servant of the prophets, and he was the fellow servant of those that keep the sayings of this book, which would be you and I. So the angel that was talking to John was just you and I, a servant of God the Most High and Christ Jesus. Now I'm going to look just at two or three examples in the Old Testament. Examples that have a little set, different set of circumstances that would help us make our determination. And I think when you're studying an individual passage, you need to look one at the context, then look to see if there's some passage in that or some verse in that passage that gives you an indication of whether we're looking at Christ or we're looking at an ordinary angel. And we'll be looking in the Old Testament at the story of Abraham, Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And here we'll be considering the story of the three men who came to Abraham. Genesis 18, 1 through 8. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourself under the tree. And I will fetch you a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened unto the tent of Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, kneaded, and make cakes upon the earth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he dressed it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Now we see at the first verse, it said that the Lord appeared unto Abraham. And then when Abraham looked up, he saw these three men. Well, now he recognized right away that they were special. And he got up and ran out to greet them, gave them water to wash their feet, gave them food to eat, and they did eat. And a little later we'll look at another passage where the angel would not eat. But here he was identified as the Lord, said, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. And later in the story, as you well remember, two of the angels left and went to Sodom. And in the first verse of chapter 19, we see that the angels arrived in Sodom. But again, they were identified as men, not as angels. But the other angel, the one that Abraham was addressing through most of his talking, or all of his talking, he stayed, and Abraham and this angel discussed the fact that Abraham and Sarah would have a child in their old age. And then Abraham talked to him and tried to have him save Sodom, or at least save the righteous in Sodom. And he finally got it down to it was just very, very few people that had to be saved. And then it turned out it was only Lot and his daughters. And of course we know that his wife turned and looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt. But all through this, I think it's probably the most convincing passage in the scriptures to me that shows that in fact that this angel was Christ in physical form, appearing to Abraham. And in this case, it seems that God felt the need to send a team of angels. He sent Christ, and then he sent two to take care of business down in Sodom. And of course, they did take care of business and destroyed Sodom. So we see here that it was, in my mind, a clear picture of Christ in the Old Testament. But now, sometimes it's not all that clear as exactly who is speaking. Let's look at Exodus chapter 3, verses 2 through 6. And here we'll be looking at Moses and the burning bush. Exodus chapter 3, verse 2 through 6. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why this bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Draw nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said unto him, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now here, it's not a question of whether it's an ordinary angel speaking. The question is it Christ speaking from the burning bush, or is it God speaking from the burning bush? Now, at the beginning of it, it says, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. Now, this would indicate that it was, in fact, Christ. Well, the word refers to the angel of the Lord. And you wouldn't think, at least, that God would refer to himself as the angel of the Lord. But from that point on, he is referred as God. He is called in the subsequent verses. He's called the Lord God, God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And finally, he is called I Am. So other than the initial introduction where it says the angel of the Lord spoke to Moses, it's all referencing God and being the source of the thing that's being said. Now, it's my opinion that it's God speaking from the burning bush, and God that followed Moses and helped Moses and all that he undertook. But now, that's my opinion. What's your opinion? Is it God or is it Christ Jesus? So that's where our study has to come in, and you have to reach your own individual decision. Because I know right now, standing here, somebody that disagrees with me, somebody that agrees with me, and probably some that haven't yet formed their opinions. But like I said at the beginning, it's nice to be assigned a topic where you know, regardless of what you say, some's going to disagree with me. So, that is what I have here. And it was an interesting topic to prepare for. Let's look next at Judges chapter 13, verses 11 through 23. We read the story of Manoah and his wife. And the angel of the Lord had already appeared to Manoah's wife and informed her that she was going to bear a child and that he would be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And we, of course, we know that that son was Samson. And she was instructed not to drink strong drink and not to eat any unclean thing. And then when Samson was born, his hair was not to be cut. But let's read Judges chapter 11. I'm sorry, chapter 13, verses 11 through 23. And Manoah arose and went after his wife, and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that speaketh unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I have said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, or eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat thy bread. Now, if you'll remember back in the story of Abraham, the angel there did said, if he eat and drink with Abraham. But here the angel would not eat bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. Now, he's referred to as an angel. And Manoah said unto, and it changes again, Manoah said unto to the angel of the Lord, What is thy name? And when thy saying comes to pass, we may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why answerest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid and a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended into the flame of the fire, and Manoah and his wife looked on it, and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die because we have seen God. So Manoah obviously thought it was more than just an angel. But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have shown us all these things, nor would it at this time have told us such things as these. Now throughout this passage, the angel is referred to as, with one exception, as the angel of the Lord, which would indicate to us again that it was Christ in the form of man. But to me, the real key to this passage, and that's why I said you need to look at the contents, you need to look at different verses, but to me, the real key is in verse 18 where the angel told Manoah that his name was secret. Now, both Gabriel and Michael, the archangel, were mentioned in the Old Testament, so it would not seem to be that the names of the angels were secret. But at this time, the name of Christ was not known to any man, and what was coming was not known to any man. But so here he said, My name is secret. And to me, that indicates and confirms my opinion that in this case it was Christ in human form talking to Manoah and to his wife. Now Manoah, it says, felt that he and his wife was going to die because they had seen God. But they had not seen God, whether it was Christ in human form. They hadn't seen God or Christ in their true form. They had not seen them in their heavenly form. They had not seen them in their spiritual form. They had seen them in a form that they chose to reveal themselves to Manoah. So that was not something he truly needed to worry about. But you and I have never seen God. We have seen his handiwork. We've never seen Christ. We know of the sacrifice that he made, and we know that this wonderful gift that he's given us through his sacrifice and the hope for the salvation that we have. But we've never seen them. But we have the promise that if we will serve him, if we will obey him, and if we will love him, then one day We will see him as he is, and we will be as he is. So that should be our goal each and every day, is to live in such a way that one day that we will see and be with Christ in heaven. In summary, the term of the angel of the Lord is used 79 times in the Old Testament, if my count is correct. An angel of the Lord is used 19 times. So in these, again, we need to study for ourselves, reach our own conclusions. And when you reach a conclusion and you're dead set in your mind that you're right, just know that somebody disagrees with you. And hold on to what you believe and base it on your own study of the Scripture. Now, the wonderful thing about people disagreeing on this particular issue is it should not affect our fellowship. It's not an issue that should cause division. Because, one, it doesn't change the lesson that's being taught by the particular passage of Scripture, whether it is an angel or whether it is Christ in human form. Doesn't change the lesson that's being taught. It doesn't change the gospel of Christ. It doesn't change the form of our worship. It doesn't change the way to salvation that God has given us. And whether we think it's an angel or we think it's Christ in human form, it's not going to be the determining factor on our salvation. We need to love God. We need to serve God. We need to keep in mind each day that we are to represent Him while we're here on this earth, and that we're to be a living sacrifice. And so all that we do should be aimed at glorifying Christ through our actions. And then one day, if we remain faithful, He will reveal Himself to us, and we will see Him as He is. And it won't concern us as to whether it was the angel or an angel. We will see Christ the Son and God the Father. Those are my comments. If there's any brother that would like to say anything, you are welcome to do so this time. If not, those are my comments. Thank you.